Hillman on CliffCentral.com.
Who's calling you, Prince?
Let me call you back. I'm
not on air.
I'll call you back.
There you go. Yeah. Who was that?
A good friend of mine.
Okay. It could have been interesting if we spoke to them.
And yeah. Hi, my boy.
What's happening, sir?
Oh, man.
Are you good?
I haven't been in a long time. I can't believe that you guys already interviewed this guy. I thought I was exclusive.
You are exclusive.
But you know what's so crazy? Do you know why I wanted to have him on the show, though?
Yeah.
Actually, do you want to introduce him?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, you introduce him.
He's difficult to put in a box. And he's whenever you speak to him, it's always a cool experience because he's a very creative and focused guy. Chomotso Mautwa, who is the owner and creative director at the creative design and branding agency Green Robot Design. 28 years old. Green Robot Design's been doing amazing things since 2007. Of course, in downtown Johannesburg. I mean, it's actually a shitty intro for you because you're more than that. But like, does it do its job?
You've made me 2 years younger. 30 now.
Oh no, bro.
I was about to say,
Prince, you turned 30 last year, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
31. Yeah, I'm old. I'm 32 this year.
But that's not an apt intro for you, dude, because you do a hell of a lot more than that. You're a human being that's quite an inspiring guy.
I try to be.
just think about
I'm
that.
I'm just a designer.
I think the reason why I decided to have him on the show is because I went through something that no one would do, like in terms of business. Like he actually saved my business in a way.
What happened?
I'm currently running a well-known newspaper, which I got a contract for, which I produce weekly.
You're running a newspaper?
Yeah, a big newspaper. And and what happened was that one of my head designers, he normally works at home, and he lost his machine. And also, he went through a little bit of a depression zone. And the only guy I could think of in this whole country was him.
To rescue a newspaper.
And I called him, and I haven't spoken to him in so long. He could have just said to me, dude, what the hell? It's been almost a year. What are you calling me for? But he came to the rescue. He was full effect. He came like a real business, like a real brother, like, you know, entrepreneurial skill brother. He came to my house early in the morning and, you know, helped me out, and we went and got this new Mac, and we drove it to another place and installed stuff in it, and yesterday I had my head designer, and I hired another junior designer, they're working in my house, and we're almost about to reach deadline, so we've got about one more page apparently to reach deadline, and that's all because of him. And I thought to myself, you know what, I need to have this guy on the show. I've had so many business people on the show, and I never thought of this guy. And me and him go way back. And I'm talking like way back. I'm not talking about like, I'm talking like way back. Like, we're from the same upbringing. You know what I mean? So it was only right.
Power. Know. There you go. I mean, being an entrepreneur, that is a lot of lastminute.com, right?
Yeah.
Big L, we're on there. So contact us.
Oh, no, we can speak to Big L.
Come on.
What's happening, Big L? I don't think you can hear me.
What's up, Big L? We on air, man. Are you saying what's up?
Oh, yeah. What it look like out there?
Well, we on air, so can we call you back?
Wait, I want to know what Big L wanted.
He says he wants to know what you wanted.
Oh, me?
Yeah. Why you were calling me? For girls. White girls.
I wanted to know if we go to the grand tonight.
You see, you're giving my section away. What a legend. Okay, I'm going to hit you up with doing a bad guy, huh?
Yeah, Big L's one of the dopest people we've had on the show. He's a legend. Okay, so now we know that Prince is going to the strip club tonight.
If he reaches deadline.
If he reaches deadline.
No, I'm in there.
But this entrepreneur thing is a lot of lastminute.com, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, like Prince was saying, yesterday was a tight one for him, and I think more than anything, it's just about helping each other. And I was saying that to him, he was like, yo, I really appreciate it. And I was like, it's more than that. It's about if we're trying to build each other's businesses, then sometimes you go those extra lengths, you know?
Because no one's going to necessarily know that Green Robot Design was even involved in this. But likewise, if, you know, Checkmate Media did something, or you did something and Checkmate Media helped out, no one would know that they were involved. So it's about those kinds of relationships. relationships.
Yeah.
A lot of people buckle under stress, though. How does one get stress sort of under control?
I think after many years, like, you've been through all types of stress, you know, and I think for me personally, it's just to almost have a clear mind, you know, understand the deliverables and just try and think properly. Mm. You know, I think a lot of people clutter themselves and they think about that solution and that and that, and then they end up adding more into that stress. So it's just about what's the goal. So, like, let's say for Prince, for instance, I need to get the newspaper out. What do I need to do? I need to fix the computer. How do I do that? Then you call someone who knows how to do that. You know what I mean? So it's just lining up the deliverables and setting the goal and saying, I need to do this, and just working towards that. Once you start adding other factors in there, it just becomes a mess.
Yeah.
Guys, we're almost a fourth of the way into 2016. Like, at this point, one needs to be getting stuff done, right? I mean, there's no more January excuses. Like, how are we shaping what the year's going to look like? How do we get better at this? Because the year's happening now.
Yeah. I think at this stage, you know, January 2016 was a very slow year, a very hard year in terms of not being even. People weren't settled in, a lot of stress. A lot of people took longer holidays just to avoid the reality of what's happening in our country. So I can honestly say 2016 is going to be a very tough year. A lot of people can say what they said in 2014 or 2013, I'd believe them, but not in 2016. The evidence is there worldwide. It's going to be a really, really, really hard year. You're going to go double. You have to do double what you did before. You know, when you were first coming up and you were working twice as hard, you have to work three times as hard. And it's about thinking out the box. You know, I'm really, really right now at the kind of, I'm talking for myself personally, I'm trying to get out and get myself some international business, because, you know, I feel like I can't, in terms of media, the RAND can't carry us right now. So for me, I feel like at this stage, if you're still confused and you still feel like you don't know where you're headed, it's okay, because it's March and budget's kicking in March. We're gonna learn what the corporates are gonna give us this year, if they're gonna cut us out, if we're gonna get more money into advertising or more money into anything, in fact. And you've still got time, so you can listen out for that. And then from March, you've got to kickstart, because March, April, straight into May, and then June, that's it, the year's gone. You've got to have made something by then. So you've still got time, but your mind, in terms of where you got to be, is got to be three times harder. It's going to be a very hard year. No lie to anyone. Everyone's feeling it. I'm feeling it right now. You know, you won't be seeing me popping a lot of champagne this year.
Except tonight, yeah.
I think, look, for me, I think it's almost the inverse. I think if you're still planning now, it's too late.
Really?
You know, what we try and do is try plan almost 2 months before the year ends. So in November, we're already stretching for what the following year is supposed to be, or what we want it to look like. You know, so I think if you're sitting now and you're just trying to plan and say, I need to do this, I need to do that, you're already way behind. You know, some people are already implementing and maybe even taking market share or whatever.
But you can turn it around, right? Is it always possible to turn it around? Or is that bullshit? I mean, let's be honest here. Because
you can. It's been a very slow year. Look, you can plan 2 months in advance, but what are you planning for 2 months in advance when you yet to hear how the economy is going to be run? We only just found out 2 weeks ago what's going to happen with the economy from Praveen Gordhan. So if you're an entrepreneur right now, you're basing your whole business based on him, because he knows where the country lies. You know that this coming week we're getting agency ratings that are coming in. They're actually here.
Yeah.
So our country's going to get rated. So you can plan. Yes, it's good to plan. Mm-hmm. It's good to strategize. But if you're depending on another company to give you a check, you kind of have to follow what everyone follows, which is the route of listening and understanding where we're going to be as a country. Before, South Africa was giving you an option of just making money without having even to listen to your Trevor Manuals. You didn't have to listen to those budget speeches because the economy was running itself. These days, we're literally limping, so we have to listen to where our country's taking us. And we never used to do that. In America, you don't listen to what the deputy minister of America or finance minister of America is going to say in America. People, entrepreneurs miss that. People, the platform is so massive, and the country's generating itself in such a way that you can skip all that and still make direct business with other people and make money. Whereas in our country, everybody who's got a small business or big, You know what I'm saying? It has to kind of like find some sort of channel to run through. We all have to run to some channel. I mean, if you look at a lot of entrepreneurs right now, we've been listening, trying to find what other companies we can make or create to take backup of our current companies. So if you're in a certain industry, you've kind of like got to go into another industry just to make your other company survive, you know? And it's crazy right now.
This is exactly why I'm an employee. As you're saying all of us, I'm like, yeah,
it's crazy.
Made the right decision being an employee.
Yeah, I mean, look, even for the employees, even for the people that are out there that are employed, it's even scarier, especially people with large, with big salaries. I mean, my sister worked for the Edcon Group for the past 11 years, okay? And another company just came and bought Edcon. And on top of that, Edcon made the biggest mistake where they spent almost $4 billion buying clothes from overseas in the UK. And they had to retrench. And she was sacked. This is a person who came from a huge salary and who was there for the company, who grew a whole department, but had to be sacked because of her salary, not even because of her influence or her work. So if you are an employee, it's about time where you're thinking of staying and being an employee and still making some cake on the side. That's what needs to happen.
I think that's also what I try to push the guys at the office to do, is that, look, this is obviously you work here, but at the same time you need to almost stand on your own too, you know. So I always say to the guys, and when I hire guys in the office, is that they need to have almost a triple threat, you know. They need to have three skills, not just be a designer. So be a designer, photographer, and a cameraman.
That's true.
Because in that, I'll use an example of one of the guys at the office. He does a lot of, I think his side thing is hosting. So we sort of get all our hosting, or all our clients, we host with him. You know what I mean? So even if he were to leave the business, or if the business were to fall or whatever, he'd be able to sustain or get some sort of income because he's still hosting some of the clients that we have. You know, so I think as an employee, you should also think about other revenues and other income streams, you know.
What's the biggest misconception when it comes to you and what you've done over at Green Robot Design? Because as I look at the bio in front of me here, which is like also a great piece of creative.
Huge. He was right. I didn't read all of it.
It's dope, hey? It's really cool the way it's been laid out and everything.
You see that one time?
Someone will see this and they'll think like, oh, he's just cool. He's just awesome. But what's the misconception, and how hard has it actually been to create something where there was once nothing in a very competitive and ever-changing media environment? What has it really taken?
Time. And time that you can't get back, you know. I think there's a lot of building blocks that people never see. People only see the good stuff. You know, like you look at the profile and you're like, oh,
yeah, that's dope.
He's always on Forbes, he was whatever, you know, and I'm like, all that stuff came from somewhere, and a lot of that stuff was built over time, you know, from building relationships with like Prince, with Teebs. I think he was one of our first clients back then, and we went to school together, and nurturing those relationships, which obviously take time, you know, and nobody ever sees that. No one understands that you need to put in the graft in the beginning and lay down the foundations to then obviously build this nice empire, if you are trying to build an empire, you know,
which you seem to want to do.
Yeah, not too big. I think big enough. And like I always say, it's not about how big the business is. It's whether the business is doing good, firstly, and secondly, are you doing great work?
What's the disconnect that you're seeing at the moment between people that want to make it big, specifically in a media space, in terms of, I mean, the South African media industry it's a difficult one to crack because people are very traditional. People that have been buying ads here or spending money there for X amount of time, or working with a certain global agency that has offices in SA for a certain amount of time, those wheels of change are really, really slow. So what's the disconnect at the moment between young people wanting to make it big in media and them actually doing that and achieving that and going up against, you know, an industry that is kind of, ironically, very set in its ways?
Yeah. I think it's all about opportunity, you know. Like I said, it's all about opportunity and where you are. The world is moving in such a way that business everywhere in the world is kind of difficult, but some countries are managing to make it work in terms of them taking it seriously. And our country, we need to kind of have those opportunities. You can have your mind set up on running your own media company, or being a guy who's who's inspirational and wants to achieve so much, but you kind of got, the country's got to give back to you as well, you know, the industry's got to give back to you as well. And currently, if you look in the media space right now, the only the strongest is surviving. The media space is really tough right now. You know, you've got massive clients cutting back on budgets. We've just been pulled off a massive retainer ourselves. So it's difficult, you know. It's if anybody's getting into media right now, they've just got to find something that just in a space where they don't need another business or another person to actually become successful. They can they can actually make something that's just a human need. For instance, like an Uber, you know what I'm saying, or like a Facebook, you know, where people like Mark Zuckerberg didn't even need employees, or Uber doesn't need cars. You have to create something really aggressive.
Very different.
Disruptive industry.
Very, very, very aggressive. But if you're just going to come in like us, where we are creating stuff, but we're also depending on big corporates to kind of like look after us, and it's difficult because you're pitching against more professional people versus yourself, who's still young and innovative, trying to pitch to a corporate to say, hey, look, I'm young, I'm fresh out of university, I've got fresh ideas, take me, versus take Prince, who's got more experience.
Mm.
So it's getting more harder, you know, the opportunities get more difficult, and that's what I'm saying. What makes everything different is opportunity. If we can all get opportunity, and then opportunity creates success.
I think also that just to go back to your question, is just the disconnect, I think, is understanding what the end goal is. You know, a lot of guys get into the industry and they're like, okay, well, I want to do this, or the end goal is,
I want to make a TV commercial.
You know what I mean? And not understanding what the path is to that.
Yeah.
You know, and I was speaking to my business coach last week, and I was sort of comparing ourselves to some of the other agencies, small and big. And he was like, well, Holmes, you can't actually look at Ogilvy or can't look at Quirk and say, you want to be like them, because they've got almost 30 years, 40 years on you. You've only got about 7 years, you know. So you need to understand what your niche is and see how you carve that for yourself, for your business. You know, versus you saying, there's Ogilvy, that's the end goal. You don't know how they got there. It's going to be different from you to get to that same end goal in this sort of climate. You know what I mean? And in sort of this type of industry. Because it's not the same as 30 years ago where print was the one. Right now, digital is the one, and you need to be innovative in how you do that.
And there's also a plus side to, you know, companies that are very established not being able to jump onto things quickly. I mean, if you are a massive agency or whatever, for you to make a decision on whether or not the tea lady should even get an increase, sometimes now has to be run through like a global office.
Yeah.
There's so many different people making decisions that if you're a little bit smaller and a little bit leaner, it can actually work to your benefit, right?
True.
Yeah, no, it can, and 100%. You know, the only dangerous thing is that we're in the media space a lot, and in the digital and technology space a lot, which for me, I always look at it as media, because you have so much room to move around. We're currently creating very genius ideas that are changing the world, but at the same time we're eliminating the human workforce, you know. Like phones and all these things you're doing,
robots
today.
All of that,
yeah. Like for me, I'm starting to slowly realize that I actually realized that we didn't need a receptionist, so I kind of like got rid of her, you know. And everybody looked at me like, but why? So when you walk into our office, we don't have a receptionist lady anymore, because we pretty much have a person who's running our coordination in the office, and we pretty much have our cell phones. And at the same time, we have our emails. So we're able to kind of like eliminate people, you know. People like the tea lady are also eliminated, because we're getting to a space where fitness is everything. So if you want something, go and make it. And if you want to make some coffee, make sure you wash the dishes, you know. So there's so many ways in which before you could do so much and employ people and do all this stuff and have unnecessary people, where these days, you literally just have to have everybody in playing a part for some funny reason, you know, and playing the exact part. But at the same time, we're eliminating more technology, more creative we get, we're eliminating human beings. And that's my biggest stress in terms of where we're going digitally or in the digital space, you know. For me to connect with someone worldwide and speak to them for a year and fall in love with them, that's dangerous. you know, I watch a show called Catfish. That's the world. You know? People are in love for 2 years. You know, where I was 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I needed to physically be around you.
So now you've deleted your Tinder profile.
Yeah. Like, you know, so it's like, I'm actually on Tinder's AKA because I want more girls. Sorry, Forbes, because you know now.
Yeah. Wrapping this up, someone that, you know, may have been listening to this that really wants to push themselves a little harder, specifically maybe in a media space, who sees the two of you doing unbelievable things, who sees all the amazing work coming out of Green Robot Design, who hears the story of, like, you know, Prince and Homotsu working together so well and that kind of thing, who aspires to that. What are the words that, you know, they can really latch onto in terms of pumping themselves up?
I don't know. Maybe you. For me, like, I work differently. You know, my words for people out there is very simple. If you have not lived best of both worlds, and you have not felt what it's like not to have anything, and you're just getting into business and you've had everything, I don't know how you're gonna survive. Because for me, I'm only surviving because I know what it's like to live without something. So I use that in the way I do my business as well. You know, I take the smallest and I take the biggest because I've known how to live without anything. So for me, my whole motto in terms of keeping myself afloat is very different to a lot of people. You know, I don't think some people can even follow my route. You know what I mean? It's very different. But maybe you can touch on something.
I think, yeah, I guess I identified the same story because from the same... Yeah. Hood, essentially, you know, understanding both sides and understanding both sides of the highway. that plays a big role, you know, growing up living in Alex, and being able to get out of there. And I'm not saying Alex is like an insanely bad place, but getting out of there and being able to do something.
Still in the north, the northern suburb. It's a northern township.
Don't worry. I think with understanding both dynamics, you know, that definitely helps. I think it helped me a lot, you know, living in Alex.
Me too.
Going to a private school and just understanding that there are people who are affluent and that there are people who don't have that much cash. And understanding those dynamics and being able to build on top of those. And I guess for me, more than anything, is building relations based on things like that. Knowing that, speaking to my white mate at school and speaking to my boy in the corner is building relations. I never know where they're going to sort of take me in the end, but it's knowing how to speak to people, networking, build those relations, because you never know what happens later in life, you know? So I think the biggest thing is just build your network now. And just keep,
you can't piss people off. You never know. You walk into a room and that person makes the decision about you.
No, that's true. That's true. That's honestly true. It's a different world we live in nowadays, and it's gonna get harder. But hey, there's gonna be some good times.
There you go. Well, there'll always be good times because Prince will always take you to the strip club if you're feeling sad. All right, how do we keep up all day, Homotsu?
I think the handles haven't changed. Green RPT Design on Instagram, on Twitter, Facebook, Homotsu Mahutla, website www.greenrobot.co.za. Still not Snapchatting yet.
You've got to get into Snapchat. You've got to be like Prince. Prince, what were you Snapchatting an article of earlier?
I was Snapchatting yesterday. Once again, Homotsu Green Robot came to my office. Sorry, came to my house, and I had my head editor there, and my designer, and this junior designer there, and I had just employed someone yesterday, so. You know, so this, I've always wanted to use this team viewer thing, you know, because a friend of mine was using it, and I did kind of use it, but I don't know how he did it, how he set it up, you know, like, it was very quick the way he did it. But then yesterday, he managed to set up for everybody. Like, he came in, set up for, like, my whole team, because we work on a newspaper. So what I was Snapchatting is I wasn't even doing anything, and I was watching one of the guys, the two of the guys, work on the project from different places, and I was in my house, and I could watch on the screen them literally, like, implement right step by step, and then, you know, it was so amazing to me, and I was just blown away. I had to Snapchat. I was like, damn, if you're not on this, then you're behind. And you know, talking about where the world's going again, you see, so we don't have to be in the same room anymore.
Yeah,
you know, so that's eliminating office space.
True.
Yeah.
Power.
Yeah.
Of course, it's at Prince Castillo everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
There
yeah.
you go. Or you'll yeah. just see him in the north.
Yeah.
Or at the Grand. At the Grand.
Yeah. The Grand tonight. Come on. You know, Grand Wednesday, Grand Thursday, Grand Tuesday.
All right, Chomotso, thanks so much for stopping by. Prince yeah. always does.
True
right?
legend, true legend, true legend to Green Robot. If anybody's out there, please link with this professional. He's actually at the top of his game right now. A guy that I really, really appreciate. You just don't get that in the game, so please make sure you hit him up.
Power, there you go.
I patiently waited for you for 9 months. I would sit in my chair and talk about how I longed to meet you. I knew you'd be the most beautiful baby in the world. I was ready for you, but I wasn't ready for this. If you have a child in need of reconstructive surgery, Smile Foundation can help you. Visit www.smilefoundation.co.za or call us on 0861-276-453. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.